Okay, so we are holding on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of Eruv Tchumen. So we discussed what kind of food you can use for it and how much. And the last thing we discussed was about food that may have questions about it lahalacha, but in certain cases we said the fact is you are allowed to. For example, we have the case of Demai or Maisa Rishon, where the Levi took Maisa from it, took Trumas Maisa from it, but didn't take Truma from it in a case where he doesn't need to. So we had a whole list of cases where there is a certain chiddush that nevertheless it is allowed, you are allowed to use it for Eruv because you are allowed to eat it, or vice versa, where there's a chiddush that you can't eat it and therefore that you can't use it for an Eruv. So now we're going to talk about another aspect, which is about who you can have put the Eruv for you. Now, usually the idea would be you wouldn't necessarily go to the place that you want to make your home base for Shabbos and place the Eruv food there yourself. Good morning, Ellie. You may well have that you're sending somebody else to do it for you. So we're going to discuss that point. So the Mishnah says, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Hasheleach Eruv Biyad Cheres Shoyt V'Katan. If a person sends his Eruv food to be put down, now again, we have to remember that Eruv has two meanings in our Masechta. It means Eruv Chatzeres and it means Eruv Tchumen. So we'll see in the Gemara which one we're talking about. So if a person sends his Eruv with a cheres shoyt v'katan, or he sends it with somebody who doesn't believe in the whole concept of Eruv, for example, the Gemara says a kursi, then it's not a valid Eruv. It's not a valid Eruv according to Rashi, the idea is because the cheres shoyt v'katan don't have the ability to be makne, and the idea is with an Eruv Tchumen, you're trying to be koine a certain place, you're acquiring a certain place as your makam shvisa, as your home base for Shabbos, and a katan doesn't have the ability to do that. Tosfos learns somewhat differently, that the idea is that Eruv Tchumen, given that the concept of Tchumen is based on a pasuk, the Tchumen themselves, according to everybody except for the Rambam, is completely according to the Chachamim's understand. According to the Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva, according to everybody except for the Rambam, Tchumen are completely Dirabbanan. But nevertheless, they're based on a pasuk that we learned at the end of the first parak. Therefore, Tosfos says when it comes to Eruv Tchumen, the Chachamim wanted to be machmir and said that with a cheres shoyt v'katan, we can't or mishein emoyde be'eruv, we can't trust them to do their job properly. Okay, but if you told somebody else to receive it from them, so you sent the Eruv with the cotton or the kursi or what have you, and you told them, don't put it down, just give it to Pliny, and he'll put it down for me, then it is a valid Eruv, as we'll see in the Gemara why. Okay, so the Gemara starts off for cotton loy. You're telling me that a cotton is not able to put an Eruv. V'ha'amar Rav Huna, cotton goves Eruv. Rav Huna says that a cotton could collect the food for the Eruv from the people of the Chatzar, and Rashi even adds, Arev Aleihem, he can make the Eruv. And in fact, there's one of the Rishonim, Rabbi Shmuel ben Chachmon, who has a pirush on Eruvin that was printed a few years back. And he actually says, that it would mean the cotton can actually make the Eruv for the people in the Chatzar and make the bracha al mitzvahs Eruv. So what are you telling me that a cotton can't make an Eruv? The answer is, loy kasha, kan be'eruv e'tchumen, kan be'eruv e'chatzeres. Our Mishnah that says that a cotton can't do it is talking about Eruv Tchumen. That statement of Rav Huna is talking about Eruv Chatzeres. So Rashi says the difference is because when it comes to the Eruv Chatzeres, it's not really, you're not really being makna anything, because after all, you even have cases Rashi brings from later in the Masechta. You have a case where a person doesn't even need to join in an Eruv Chatzeres because he has a partnership with somebody else who lives in the Chatzer. So therefore, so the fact that over here the cotton is collecting and making the Eruv doesn't matter, according to Rashi, as opposed to Eruv Tchumen, where you're trying to acquire a certain spot as your makam shvisa, and a cotton doesn't have the ability to acquire something for you. According to Tosfos, it's more along the lines of that Eruv Tchumen is something based on a pasuk, even if we say that Tchumen themselves are Dirabbanan, but it's still based on something from a pasuk. Therefore, the Chachamim don't want to trust a cheres shoyt v'katan with it, as opposed to when it comes to Eruv Chatzeres, where the whole thing is purely Dirabbanan. We learned in the second parak that Shlomo HaMelech made the takana, then The Chum didn't care about that as much. The Rashba gives a third reason, which is by Eruv Chatzeres, you don't, by definition, you don't just have one person. You have other people involved in the Eruv Chatzeres as well. So you have Das Acheres, you have another person's Das that can be involved over here, that he can make the Eruv valid, as opposed to by Eruv Tchumen. Usually you put an Eruv Tchumen down just for yourself, so there's no Das Acheres. Okay. Worth mentioning in this connection, by the way, a short story that the Yerushalmi tells about a cotton collecting the food for the Eruv. The Yerushalmi tells how the concept of Eruv Chatzeres is capable of bringing shalom between Jews. And it tells a story that there were two women who were neighbors, lived in a chatzer, and they weren't getting along with each other. Until one Erev Shabbos, one of these women sent her son to go and collect the food for the Eruv. So he's going around from one house to another. He comes to this house of this other neighbor that his mother's not getting along with. The neighbor gives him the food and is so proud of him, such a big boy, etc., and gives him a hug and a kiss. And he goes back home and tells his mother that the neighbor lady was gave me a hug and kiss. And the mother realizes, oh, it's not that she doesn't like me. Whatever it was between us, it must have been a misunderstanding or something. And they made shalom between themselves. Okay. Anyway. Getting back to our Gemara, we said that if you send the food for the Eruv Tchumen with somebody who doesn't believe in Eruv, so man, who would that be? That would be the Kusim. Now, I mean, in other words, it would certainly have. It wouldn't be, obviously, if you send it with a goy, there's no question about it. A goy can't be your shliach. But the chiddush is, a kusi is, after all, back before they declared the kusim to be goyim, back before they discovered them in the times of a mayor to be worshipping the image of a dove, up until that point, you always had the question of whether kusim are gere emes or gere arroyos. But even if we said they're gere emes, that they became true gerim, nevertheless, they don't believe in most of Torah Shabbat Peh, Eruv Tchumen being one of them. They don't believe in it, therefore they can't put it down for you. Again, according to Rashi, because they don't have the ability to, basically, because they don't believe in it. According to Tosfos, because we don't believe them that they actually put it down in the right place. And other Mefarshim add, even if we do see them put it down in the right place, they didn't necessarily have the right kavana. You have to have the kavana that it's going to be for the Mokum Shvisa, and you actually have to say it verbally, and you can't trust them that they necessarily did that. Okay. A similar concept would apply if you have another person, Bepashtus, then it would mean, for example, that you couldn't send the Eruv Tchumen, let's say, with a reformed Jew or something, because he doesn't believe in it either. Maybe you would say Tinek Shenishba, I don't know. Okay. Anyway. We said in the mission of Vim Omala Achol Kabloi Hemenu Hareza Eruv, we said that if you told somebody else to take the Eruv food from the Cheresh Shot of a cotton or the Kursi and put it down, Hareza Eruv, then it is a valid Eruv. So the question is, V'leichosh Dilmolei Mamtilei, the question is, who says, if you're saying that you can't trust a Cheresh Shot of a cotton, then how do you know that how do you know they actually bring it to the other guy? Maybe they never bring it to him in the first place. The answer is Kid Omer of Chista Ba'omid Vere'ehu, like we have a few lines further down in connection with a different din. Where Rav Chista says the case is that you stand from afar and watch him do it. The same thing would be over here. Let's say, so you send the cotton with your Eruv. You stand from afar, the Eruv you're going to be putting, let's say, maximum of 2,000 amas away. So you stand and you watch and you see him walking over to the other guy and handing him the Eruv. So good, at that point, you know he actually handed it to him. So the same thing as in that case, in a few lines, that he actually watches him and sees him bringing it. The same thing would be over here. Okay, the question is, okay, but we see that the cotton brought the food to the other guy. We don't necessarily see from a distance that the other guy took it. So Tosfos points out, it's one thing if you send the Eruv with a Godol Ben Das in the first place, then fine. We have, as the Gemara is going to soon discuss, the concept called Chazaka Shliach Oisa Shlichusai, that we can assume that the Shliach accomplishes what he's supposed to. But over here, but on the other hand, the problem is over here, you're telling this Godol Ben Das to receive the food from this cotton. So he's not involved with the whole shlichus. It wasn't his job to bring the food to that point, just to take it from there and put it down. So therefore, he may not bother. He may, you know, the whole thing doesn't depend on me. I have to wait for this cotton anyway. All right, so the cotton doesn't end up showing up or doesn't end up showing up in time, and therefore I don't take it from him or something. So we don't the whole shlichus doesn't depend on him. So therefore, he may not do it properly, because he figures the other guy will trust the cotton to finish up the job or whatever. So why aren't we concerned about that?
The main thing is it's being done. He's making the Erev.
No, because the point is that a cotton, we said in the Mishnah, a cotton is not able to make the Erev. Rashi said because he doesn't have the ability to be makne, a place, you have to be, because the point of an Erev Chatzeres is to be koine a mokum shvisa, a place which is going to be your home base for Shabbos, and a cotton doesn't have the ability to do that. According to Tosfos, it's because we don't trust him. According to the Rashba, it's because we don't have Das Acheres involved. The point is that, no, if the cotton himself were to put it down over there, it wouldn't be good. So here we're talking about, you have the cotton handing it to somebody, or whoever, handing it to somebody else. But the question is, how do we know that somebody else is going to do his job? And again, as Tosfa says, it's one thing if you give him the entire shlichus, fine, chazaka shliach oisa shlichusai. But over here, where you already delegated part of the shlichus to somebody else who himself can't put down the Eruv, Then maybe we would say we're concerned that the shliach is not going to do the job. He's not going to take it from him and finish up the job. The answer is no. Kid amar of Yechiel chazaka shliach oisa shlichus. Just like we find in a few lines from now that Rabbi Yechiel says that it's a chazaka that a shliach will accomplish his shlichus. The same thing over here. Yes, it's only a partial shlichus. Nevertheless, though, it's still a shlichus, and we have a chazaka that a shliach will accomplish that, and therefore we can rely on him that he's going. That not only so again, as far as the cotton or the cheresh, etc., we can't rely on them, and therefore we actually have to see them walk over and to where the other guy is. But once we're at that point, then we can assume that the other guy will have taken the food and do the rest of the job, because chazaka shliach oisa shlichus. Okay. So the Gemara says, v'heicha itmar de Rav Chista v'Rav Yechiel aha. What was the original? We're saying that like Rav Chista said, and like Rav Yechiel said, implying that Rav Chista and Rav Yechiel originally said their dinim in connection with another case. What is that case? And so, aha itmar. It was said in connection with the following. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, nosne lapil vahilichoi, if you gave the aid of food to an elephant and it carried over you, a trained elephant, you can train elephants to do things for you. So in this case, you train the elephant to carry the food over to such and such a place, or lakoif vahilichoi, or the same thing with a trained monkey, that you trained it and you gave to the monkey to carry over to a certain place. Ein ze eruv, then it's not a valid eruv. But if you told somebody else that I'm going to send my elephant or my monkey over to such and such a place, you take the food from it and put it down for an Eruv, hareza Eruv, then it's a valid Eruv. So we have to ask the question, how do we know? You can't rely on the elephant or the monkey. Maybe they didn't end up bringing it. So that's the original context where Rav Chista said that the case is you actually standing from a distance and watching the elephant or the monkey bring it over there. And then what about, you have the other problem though, the gadol ben das, who's supposed to be receiving it and putting it down, may not actually take it from him. And here comes the original answer. Amar Yechiel, chazaka shliach oisa shlichus. That it's a chazaka that the shliach will accomplish his shlichus, and therefore we can rely on that you gave him a shlichus to do, and he's going to carry it out.
I'm assuming that these days it would be different, because either it could be confirmed by phone, or that shliach, who the actual guy who put it down in the right place, will come there and notify him. Yes, I did. The guy brought it.
Well, as far as the shliach coming and confirming, I mean, again, the shliach has to do it to begin with. If the person who put down the Erev Tchumen himself comes and confirms it's there, okay, that's good. The fact is, you also have to have, though, there has to be a statement that I'm putting this down in order to be koine shvisa. Cotton or cheresh or whatever don't have the ability to do that. So even if you see the food is actually there, if you sent it with the cotton or what have you, and you didn't tell somebody else to take it from them, it's still not going to be good. You would still have to go and actually take that food and put it down and say that I'm putting it down l'shem Eruv. But yeah, in the case you were talking about where you could confirm by phone or whatever to make sure that it was given over, yeah, mistama. I mean, if we're talking about just, again, the only part that's considered shlichus in halacha is the part that the gadol ben das takes it and puts it down in the right place. So yeah, to confirm that the cotton brought it to him, yeah, mistama, you could do that by phone or whatever. It wouldn't be any different than watching him from afar. Yeah, the pastures, yeah. The person who actually put it down, would it be enough to confirm with him by phone? Kenzine. I don't know. Okay. Amud of Nachman. So now let's talk about a more general discussion about this matter of shlichus. We just said that there's a concept, chazaka shliach oisa shlichusay. Now, so Amud of Nachman, b'shel toda ein chazaka shliach oisa shlichusay. When it comes to things da'oraisa, we don't necessarily say chazaka shliach oisa shlichusay. We may say it l'chumra, but we don't necessarily say it l'kula to say that the thing was actually accomplished. And we're going to give some examples in the sugya now of things da'oraisa, which you have to delegate to a shliach, where we can't necessarily take it as a given that the shliach actually did it. You have to be able to verify that it was actually done. When it comes to something d'rabbanon, then it's not so bad. Even if you didn't end up doing it, your maximum you're over on is an isur d'rabbanon. So then Rav Nachman says you can be soimich on chazaka shliach oisa shlichosei. Our case over here of tchumen, again, according to the vast majority of rishonim, tchumen is completely d'rabbanon. You have Rabbi Akiva holds that tchumen is d'oraisa, so the chachamim disagree with him. Within the opinion of the chachamim, you have the opinion of the Rambam, which we've mentioned before, that a tchum of 12 mil is d'oraisa, and then a tchum of 1 mil is d'rabbanon. According to everybody else, there's no such thing as a tchum of 12 mil. There's a tchum of 2,000 amas d'rabbanon, and d'oraisa, there's nothing. 12 mil is more than one mil. So, yeah. Or 1 mil, which is 2,000 amas. 2,000 amas is the usual word we use for it. 2,000 amas. Why 1 second? 2,000 amas is 1 mil. That's a mil is 2,000 amas. So according to the Rambam, you have a tchum of 12 mil, 24,000 amas, which is d'oraisa. You have the Rabbanon restricted it and made it down to 1 mil, 2,000 amas, and then that's where you'd put down your erev tchumen. According to everybody else, there's no 12 mil thing. There's a 1 mil, 2,000 amas tchum, and that's that. It's the Rabbanon. Excuse me. So according to most Rishonim, here we're talking about Bishal Sofrim, and therefore there's no problem. According to the Rambam, where there's a concept of Tchum and Daraisa, so according to him, we're going to have to understand then why over here would we say Chazaka Shliach Oisa Shlichus. So that we'll see later on the Omud something that relates to that. Anyway, so according to Rav Nachman, that's the difference. By something Bishal Torah, you can't necessarily say Chazaka Shliach Oisa Shlichus. By things that are Bonon, you could. Rav Sheshes Amar Echad Zeh VeEchad Zeh Chazaka Shliach Oisa Shlichusay. Rav Sheshes says either way, Daraisa or Drabanon, you could say Chazaka Shliach Oisa Shlichusay, and you could rely that he accomplished what he was supposed to without having to check in on him. Tosfos discusses over here the question, who is the halacha like? First, it brings from Rav Shimshon Mipaleza, Paluda, Mipaleza, whatever, which is a city in France, that the halacha is like Rav Sheshes, which would mean that you can always rely on Shliach Oisa Shlichusay. Then he brings from Rabbi Natam that no, the halacha would be like Rav Nachman. Okay. Who says that you can't rely on Chazaka Shliach Oisa Shlichusay with things d'oraisa. Okay. So, Amar Rav Sheshes Menah Minala. So Tosfos goes into a little bit of discussion about it. There may be a difference whether, so we can be talking about something d'oraisa, but if there can be a difference whether if the shliach didn't accomplish what he was supposed to, then you're going to be over on an isur d'oraisa versus not. So Tosfos brings it, for example, in connection with the matter of a get, for example. So now if the shliach doesn't do his job and doesn't give a get, it's a problem for the wife. She can't get remarried, but it's not a problem for the husband because it's only cherem derben agershim that would prevent him from remarrying. So therefore, so get in our thing d'oraisa, and maybe over there we don't say shliach oisa shlichosai. Maybe if it was something that would cause the person himself, the mashaleach, to be over on an isur d'oraisa, then maybe we would say chazaka shliach oisa shlichosai. Shlocha shalom kamoisa is all very nice. It means that the shliach has the ability to accomplish something, but we're talking about the practicality. Did he actually accomplish it? You sent a get with a shliach. Did he actually deliver it? You sent a shliach to take truma for you. Did he actually take it? Or an our mishnah? Well, okay. All right. So. Now that's what we're talking about in our Gemara over here. We say chazaka oisa shlichos, chazaka shliach oisa shlichos. But does that, everybody agrees that applies to things that are banan. The question is, does it also apply where we're talking about a din d'oraisa? Rav Shesha says it does, Rav Nachman says it doesn't. Amar Rav Shesha's menam minala. So Rav Shesha says, where do I get my opinion that it apply, that it works by things d'oraisa as well? The Tanan. We learn in Menachos. As soon as the Korban HaOmer was brought on the 16th of Nisan, people living near Yerushalayim are right away, then Chodesh is Mutter right away. So people living near Yerushalayim who know that the Korban was brought, as soon as they know it was brought, they're able to start eating Chodesh. People further away who don't know for a fact whether the Korban was brought, they can eat Chodesh beginning from Chatzos. This is when the Bais HaMikdash is standing. When the Bais HaMikdash, after the Bais HaMikdash is destroyed, then you have different dinim that it discusses in Menachos over there. But anyway, so you're allowed to eat from Chatzos Hayom Ve'elach. You have to wait, because you have to wait till Chatzos. The point is, we're soimach on the Kohenim. The Kohenim are our Shluchim. And we can be soimach on them that they brought the Korban by Chatzos. But a Chodesh Doraisa, who? Now, after all, Chodesh is a Din Doraisa. V'katoni ha-rechokim u'tarim ha-chatzos yem ve'elach. And we still say that they're mutter. Lav mishum chazaka shliach oisa shlichosai. So, says Rav Shesha, so you see, it must be because shliach oisa shlichosai. Now, Tosfos says, the fact is, the Kohenim, never mind shliach oisa shlichosai, the Kohenim have a mitzvah of their own to bring this korban. It's one thing we're talking about an eruv in our mishnah, or we're talking about a shliach of a get or whatever. They don't have a mitzvah of their own to do such and such. So therefore, you can talk about whether they did the shlichus. The omer, the kohenim themselves, have a mitzvah. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah to bring the korban to omer. So what are you talking about in connection with shlichus? No, but the ones who are on duty. But the Tosfos answers, though, that the difference is that if it was only because of that, because they have the mitzvah, they wouldn't necessarily make sure to do it by Chatzos. You could do it, they could do it any time during the day. The fact that there are shluchim and that they know that the rechokim are relying on them is why they're going to do it by Chatzos. So you see that shliach oisa shlichosei, even by things that are nice. Ver Rab Nachman, what does Rab Nachman answer to that? He says, Hosam Kedkatoni Taima. The reason there, it's a special case, because the Mishnah continues, Lefisha Yodin Shein Beistin Mitzatzlin Boy, because they know, the people who are far away, know that Beistin are not going to be lazy about it. So there you have, these aren't just regular Shluchim, these are Shluchim who are supervised by Beistin. So sure, when you have Shluchim that are supervised by Beistin, you can rely on that the Beistin is going to make sure they do the right thing. But based in themselves can't accomplish it, but they can make sure that there are Kohenim who did it. Like you said, there are a lot of Kohenim over there, and if they see that some of the Kohenim are getting lazy and don't want to bother bringing the armor, then they'll tell other Kohenim to do it. No, no. We're not talking about the harvesting of it. The harvesting of it was done the night before. We're talking about the actual bringing of the korban on the morning, during the day of the 16th of Nisan. So based in is it, right? Based in will make sure that it gets done. So therefore, Rav Nachman says, so sure, when you have based in supervising it, that's different. But a regular shliach, not necessarily. Okay. The Ika de Amri, another version of the discussion, went the other way around. So the first version of the discussion had that Rav Sheshis used that Mishnah as a proof, and Rav Nachman is saying it's not necessarily a valid proof because their based in is involved. The other version is the other way around. The second version is that Rav Nachman is the one who starts by using that Mishnah as a proof for his Shita. Dekatoni Taima, because the Mishnah says, Lafisha Yodin Shein based in Misatzlanboy. Why are you able to eat Chodosh from Chatzos? Because you know that Beistin is not going to be lazy about it. Implying Beistin Hurdalai Misatzlanboy. So the Beistin we know is not going to be lazy. They're going to accomplish Ha Shliach Misatzlanboy, which seems to imply regular Shliach would. So there you go, says Rav Nachman. By things that are icy, you don't say Shlachazoka Shliach Hose Shlachose. Rav Sheshis Omaloch, Rav Sheshis can answer you similar to what Tosfos says, based in ad palga de yoima. Because based in is involved, therefore you can start eating from Chatzos, because you know that based in is not going to delay past Chatzos doing it. Shliach kula yoima, a regular shliach, we're not saying that he might not do it at all. He just might do it later in the day. So okay, sometime before the deadline, the shliach will get things accomplished. You know, like they say, thank goodness for the last minute, you know, everything always gets done. Yeah. That's fine. Koinam has risen, but the fact is they might be misatzel for one reason or another. Koinam's risen has other applications. It means when they're doing the avoda, then they do it quickly and they do it carefully. But whether they're actually going to do the avoda is another question. They may not get around to starting it. That some of the avodas they may fight over. Look, I mean, practically speaking, but there's always the concern that there might not. And after all, you know, you're saying that there are a lot of koinim available, but when you get down to it, there aren't always necessarily. You can have a case where many of the koinim are tamei, for example, or otherwise off limits through the avoda for one reason or another, and therefore you only have a small number of koinim available to do it. So you might have, you know, you also have, you know, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, right? You have the concept kidra de beshutfi lechamim lekrira. You have a pot that belongs to many people. It's neither hot or cold because each one depends on the other. So you might have over here, each kohen figures the other guy will do it, you know, so, yeah. Yeah, maybe. It could be, but whatever the case, the point is that we do have to be concerned that Ms. Atzlin boy. So again, according to Reb Nachman, only because Beis Din is involved. If Beis Din weren't involved, you couldn't rely on them at all. And according to Rav Sheshes, even without Beis Din, you could rely that they're going to do it sometime before the deadline, just not necessarily by Chatzos. For Chatzos, you need Beis Din. Okay. Amar Rav Sheshes Menam Minallah. So Rav Sheshes says, where's another fine? You don't accept my proof from Menachos. Where's another place where I have a proof that you can rely on a Shliach even for things d'oraisa? The Tanya. We learn in a Braisa, Ha'isha Sheyeshala Leda Oziva, a woman who gave birth, or who was a Zava, and she needs to bring a korban of two birds. Actually, with birth, if she was rich, she brings one animal and one bird, but whatever. Most people were poor and they would bring two birds. So what do you do? She doesn't have to personally give the birds to the kohen and make sure that it gets done. Mivia mois v'nesenes v'shofer. What she can do is she can take money enough to buy the two birds and put it in the shofer that is meant for that purpose. A shofer means a pushka. A pushka is called a shofar because that's how they were shaped. They were shaped like a shofar, narrow on top, wide on the bottom, so you can't easily. It was in. Yeah, so you can't easily take out money. This was in Gimel Parakim of Rambam a couple of days ago. But yeah. Okay. So the point is that the Mishnah in Shkolim tells us that there were 13 shofarists like that. There were 13 pushkas like that in the Beis Mikdash, and one of them was reserved for kinin, which is this kind of thing where a person needs to bring a pair of birds for a korban, a zav, a couple of cases where a person has to bring two birds as a korban. So what you do is you take the money, you put it in there, and she puts it in the shofar, the tevelas, then she can tovel, which is a tevila she has to do midrabanan, v'echelas, because of the tevila daraisa, because of her tomo, she already did the day before, or the night before, whatever. So here though, we're talking about a tevila d'rabanan, that a mechosev kippurim is required, v'echelas b'kodshim al erev, and that evening she's already able to eat kodshim. Why? Because chazaka shliach oisa shlichosei. So we can expect the koinim know that they have to finish up bringing all those korbanos that day, because there are people depending on them to eat kodshim, and therefore, so if not, then they're going to be chayiv kodesh, so the koinim know to do their job. So chazaka shliach oisa shlichosei, even in something d'araisa. My timer, lav mishum damrin, chazaka shliach oisa shlichosei. So there you go, says Rav Sheshes. So you see that you apply that even in dinim d'oraisa. V'Rab Nachman, what would Rab Nachman answer to that? He would say, Hosam kidir of Shmaya. The reason why it works over there is based on what Rav Shmaya says. The Amr of Shmaya, Chazaka, and based in Shal Koinim, Oim Nimisham, Ad Sheyichlo Kol Moiz Sheba Shofar. It's a Chazaka that the based in of Koinim will not leave there until all the money in the Shofar has been used up to buy Korbanos. So again, we're talking about based in is involved. We're not just talking about the individual Koinim go and open up the Shofar and take out them or whatever, that individual people are responsible for giving the Koinim the birds and telling them to bring it. Then you might say that maybe they're and they might not do it. But here, where there's a Beis Din Shel Koyanim involved, then they're going to be the Beis Din already we can rely on is going to do the right thing. It's not just that they have Koyanim or that Mishmer. The point is, we find in a number of places in Shas that there was a Beis Din Shel Koyanim. Besides you have the Sanhedrin Gdola in the Lushkas Agozas, and you had smaller Sanhedrins in different other places around the Hanabais. Besides that, you had a Beis Din Shel Koyanim whose specific job was to deal with questions involving Kodshim. So their responsibility was to make sure that everything in the Beis Mikdash was done al pi halacha. It's mentioned in a few places here and there in the Gemara. So, yeah. So, therefore, so there's a based in Shal Koyanim. That's different. Now, of course, Rav Sheshes doesn't have to agree. Unlike before, we said we were quoting a Mishnah where we mentioned about Beis Din. Here we're mentioning Rav Shmaya, who is an Amora. Rav Sheshes is entitled to disagree with Rav Shmaya and say there was no Beis Din Shel Kohanim involved. It was left up to the individual Kohanim and yet Chazaka Shliachos Shlichosai. But Rav Nachman can agree with Rav Shmaya and say there was a Beis Din involved and therefore that's a special case. Okay. Amr of Sheshes Menam, in the law. So Rav Sheshes says, where do I say it? I have a third place that I get my idea that Chazaka Shliach Oseh Shlichose, even by things Daraisa. Netanya, Ha'oimer Lachaveir, it's save a lakat lachoteinim miteinosi. If a person says to somebody else, go pick yourself some figs from my fig tree, he didn't tell him how much he can pick. So therefore, Oichoman Arai, so therefore, if the guy wants to eat it, Achilas Arai, then he's allowed to eat it without taking mice. So fine, that's a general rule. Any food that hasn't had Gmar Malacha, or that hasn't been, it's called the Roya Pnei Abayis, that hasn't been brought into the front of the house, is not yet Chayiv in mice. So you're allowed to eat from it, Achilas Arai. Well, a worker is a special case. Where you hire a worker to pick the fruit for you, then alpi alocha, you have to allow him to eat. Here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about, I'm a friend of yours. You're offering your friend. I have a fig tree in my backyard. Go pick yourself some figs and enjoy yourself. So he's allowed to eat from it without taking mice, so if he's going to eat arai. But then if he wants to eat it achilas keva, and you have six different things that can make it kavua, you have if Shabbos comes, you have gmar malacha, you have if you cook it, if you salt it, if Shabbos comes, then it becomes kavua. Yeah. No. I'm saying if you pick the fruit before Shabbos, and then Shabbos comes, then that fruit is now considered kavua as far as mice. Once Shabbos comes, then it becomes kavua, and even after Shabbos, if you want to eat from it, you're going to have to take maaser. There's Mishnayos in the Sechta Maaseris that discuss all these details. We're not going to get into it right now, but the point is, there are six different things that are keveya, that now it's chayev and maaser, and now you can't eat from it achilas arai. So what do you do as far as maaser? Uma asran vadai. When you're going to take Maiser from them, you have to take Maiser as Vadai. You know that they were Tevil, because there's no possible way that the other guy could have given Truma and Maiser for it, because he won't know how much you picked. He just told you, go ahead and pick as much as you want. So he has no way of knowing whether you picked one or 10 or 100 or whatever. So he can't possibly have given Maiser for it. So when you are going to be eating it, you have to take Truma and Maiser as Vadai, meaning not as Dmai. The guy who owns the tree. No, well, that's the thing. So we're saying, in other words, the guy who picked it, Reuven owns the tree, Shimon is picking it with Reuven's permission. So now, when Shimon wants to eat that fruit, after it became kavur l'maiser, then he has to give maiser from it as vadai, not as d'mai, because the one difference would be, first of all, the difference would be that with d'mai, you don't give truma, you don't have to give truma, because the amei aretz are careful with truma, with vadai, you do. But second of all, also with vadai, you actually have to give the truma, the Maiser Rishon and the Maiser Sheni or Maiser Oni to their respective parties. With Dmai, you don't have to, because I'm Otsim Chavel Avaraya. You, Levi, want the Maiser Rishon. Bring proof that it wasn't Maiser yet, and then I'll give it to you. Maiser Oni. The same thing Maiser Oni. The Oni wants to take his Maiser. Bring proof that it wasn't Maiser, and I'll give it to you. Doesn't matter. So Reuven owns a tree. He says to Shimon, come into my backyard and pick as much food as you'd like. So now what we're saying is, as long as Shimon is going to be eating an achilas arai, and there are a lot of rules involving achilas arai, you can only eat them one at a time, you can't be dipping them in, you can't be dipping them in salt, can't have kashamas, can't have come, whatever. So then you're allowed to eat it without taking maaser. Once it comes to the point where it's going to be kavua, and he has to take maaser, he can't, there's no way that maaser could have been taken from it yet. They're the Shimon. If Shimon can't eat it unless he himself takes Maiser from it. Right. If it becomes Keba, right. So we're saying he has to do it as Vadai, which means when he's going to have to take the Maiser Rishon and actually give it to a Levi, or hold on to it until he finds a Levi or whatever. The same thing with Maiser Oni, if it's a Maiser Oni year, as opposed to the next case where we're going to talk about, where it's Dmai, where he has to separate them out, but then he's allowed to keep them because if a Levi comes and says, this is my submission, give it to me, you can say, wait a second, bring proof that this wasn't my sur yet, and I'll give it to you. In this case, because Vadai, in the other case, which we're going to talk about in a minute, I'm just explaining, this one is Vadai. As opposed to, one second, on the other hand, if the guy says, maybe it's confusing because I haven't finished the Braisa yet. So let's finish the Braisa. Yeah, let's finish the Braisa and then we'll explain. Yeah. Okay. So again, so the first case is he just tells him, go ahead and pick fruit without specifying how much. A second case is where he tells him, see, but if he tells him, fill up this basket for yourself with figs from my fig tree, so this basket is a known amount, now we can say he knows how much there is, so you still have the first part of the din, that he can eat achilas arai, fine, because the fact is, it's still, again, as usual, you can eat achilas arai until it's kavua for meiser. But uma astron d'mai, when it comes to taking meiser from it, he only has to take meiser from it as d'mai, because here there's the possibility that the owner of the tree gave meiser on behalf of it already. Since he, of the part that you're going to pick, because he knows that you're going to be picking a basket full, so he is able to. Now we talked yesterday about not taking truma and meiser from she'ena min amukah, from something that's not adjacent. We're going to discuss that in the Gemara over here in a second. But in other words, leaving that point aside for a second, the guy knows he gave you a basket that holds 1 pound, so he's able to say back home. Okay, well, he's picking a pound of fruit off the tree. So therefore, okay, so a pound of whatever, you know, 100 ounces, let's say 100 ounces of fruit. Okay, so it requires 2 ounces for truma and 10 ounces for maiserishin and so on and so forth. So he's able to do that. So therefore, you don't know for sure that he didn't do that. You still have to take maiser from it just in case he didn't do that. But there it has the din of d'mai. Whereas usual with Demai, you don't have to give the Maiser Rishon and the Maiser Oni to the Levi and to the Oni respectively. They don't have any Kedusha to them. So, and if the Levi or the Oni comes, you can say Hamotzi Mechaber Lavaraya. So the basic din with Demai is Truma you don't have to take because even the Amei Aretz are careful with Truma. Maybe in this case you do because okay, you don't know whether he actually Maiser it or not, as we're going to discuss further over here. But you would take Maiser Rishon, you would designate that as Maiser Rishon, you'd take out of it Trumas Maiser, and that has to go to the Koyan because it has Kedusha. But the rest of the Maiser Rishon you could keep and you could eat. The Maiser Sheni you would separate out, and then you would be mechalalit on money, and you'd take that money eventually to your shalayim, etc. And the maiser, if it's a you, if maiser oni, again, you separate out the maiser oni, but you don't have to give it to the oni. You can keep it for yourself. Same thing, hamotz mechavel varaya. Those are the basic differences between maaser vadai versus maaser d'mai. Not everything. The truma, you know, truma, we say you don't have to take from d'mai because the Amei Aretz were careful about truma. Truma's meiser has kedusha. A zor can't eat it. Therefore, you have to give it to the koyin no matter what. Yeah. And meiser sheni also meiser sheni because you can't eat it outside of your shalayim and you have a suffolk. Whether it's meiser sheni, therefore you'd have to either bring it to your shalayim or you'd have to redeem it for meiser oni. You can eat. Yeah, it has no kedusha. Neither does meiser rishon. It's for the Levi. So the Truma G'doyla, the Amei Aretz are always careful on. Trumas Maiser, they're not. Yeah.
So the lady has to go to law
school. Okay. Onward. Okay. Bame Dvarim Amorim continues the Braisa. So when is this talking about? Ba'ama Aretz. This is talking about when it's an Amei Aretz, meaning the owner of the tree is an Amei Aretz. So he's not careful necessarily to take Maiser. He doesn't care about Lifnei Iver. So therefore, you have to take Maiser to be on the safe side. Ava B'chover, but if the owner of the tree is a Chover, he's going to make sure to take Maiser. Oichol va'enet tzarech la'aser divrei Rebbe. Then Rebbe says, in that case, then you are able to eat freely from the tree. You don't have to take Maiser because you know that the Chavar will have done it for you because he doesn't want to be machshil you. He doesn't want to be machshil you that you're going to eat tevel. No. We're saying the responsibility, the chover, the owner of the tree, is it? Well, that's what we're going to discuss soon. We're going to discuss the question: is we're saying over here in the Braisa that the owner of the tree is an Amei Aretz versus a chover. What is Shimon, the guy who's filling up the basket? Is he an Amei Aretz or a chover? That we're going to get to soon. Okay. So Rebbe says that you can eat without having to take Maaser. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, the other way around. B'med v'ram amurim ba'ama aretz. When are we talking about that it's enough to Maaser it as d'mai? Is when the owner of the tree is an Amei Aretz. Ava b'chover. Eino oichal ad she'aser. If it's a chover, fakir, you have to take Maaser as vadai. Because chaverim are not suspect of being over on the din of taking truma from what's not mukaf, from what's not altogether, and here it's not altogether. So therefore, sort of No, the point is you have some of it is in the basket and some of it might already have been harvested and is in the house where you can take truma on behalf of it. But the point is that it's not all together. In order to take the proper way to take truma and ma'aser is that they're all together. What you're separating out as truma and ma'aser is in the same place as the rest of it, as the rest that's going to be cholin. And here you don't have that, because here you have Shimon is holding a basket full of fruit. Reuven is at home with other fruit from the same tree or from nearby trees or whatever, which he's going to take truma and ma'aser from. And Shimon Gamliel is saying he's not going to do that because he's not going to be over on the thing. He's not going to be over on the thing of taking truma like that. So then that means he won't have done it yet. It means that he'll have done it for the fruit that he has in his house already, maybe fine, but he won't have done it for the fruit that you just picked now. So therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying you can't assume that the fruit is ma'aser. You have to assume just the opposite, that it's not ma'aser. If it's an Amma Oretz, an Amma Oretz is not necessarily going to know that din that you have to take Minam Mukaf, and therefore he's going to figure, you know what, I'll do Shimon a favor and prevent him from eating tevel. But if he's a chaver, Rav Shimon Gamliel says just the opposite. He knows the din that you're not allowed to take shloim and amukav, and therefore he's not going to do it. Now, we'll see in the Gemara soon what the actual argument is, but it means not, that's not all together. Yeah. But now, well, maybe, you know what, it could be that the reason why the Braise is mentioning over here specifically figs is because figs ripen at different times. So maybe then in that case, he takes Meiser from each batch individually. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. We talked before, by the way, about Rashi. We talked yesterday or the day before that Rashi and Tosfos argue elsewhere in the Gemara whether this concept of taking Shalom and Amukov is Daraisa or only Darabanan. Okay. Anyway. Amar Rebbe, so Rebbe says further on this, Nirin Dvarai Medivrei Abba, it seems more logical to accept my opinion that if the owner of the tree is a chaver, then you don't have to take Meiser, more than my father, who says that Fakir, then you would have to take Meiser, and it would even be Vadai, because, yes, okay, he has a point that you're not supposed to take Minam Mukav, but Mutav Sheyechoshtu Chaverim Litrim Shalem Minam Mukav, better that the chaver should be suspected of being over on the din of being Totem Shalem Minam Mukav, V'lo Yachi rather than cause an Amma Oretz to eat tevel. In other words, Rebbe is saying, what happens if the chaver doesn't take Meiser from this on behalf of this fruit? It comes out that the guy he told, fill up a basket for yourself, is going to end up eating tevel, if he's an Amma Oretz, as we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara. And what's going to happen if he does take Meiser from him? He's going to be over on the thing of taking Shalem and Amukav. Fine, but taking Shalem and Amukav is a much less serious thing than causing somebody else to eat tevel, which is also Darad Isa. Again, Shalom and Amukav, because Shimon has the fruit in his hand, but Reuven doesn't have that fruit with him. Reuven has other fruit in his house that he's going to designate out some of it as Truma and Meiser on behalf of this fruit that Shimon just picked. So it's Shalom and Amukav. It's not all together. Shimon has the basket in one place. Reuven has fruit at home in another place. That's Shalom and Amukav. No, if you're not understanding it clearly, then let me, yeah. Okay. So Rebbe is saying, basically, look, if you have a choice between being over on something more serious and something less serious, you're going to do the less serious thing. Now, according to Rashi, that the whole thing is Dirabbanan, then that's easily understandable. According to Tosfos, of taking Shalom and Amukav, according to Tosfos, that it's actually Daraisa, then since when do we start doing deals like that with things Daraisa? But the answer is, Rishonim explain that for a person to eat tevel is a chiyuv misa b'dei shemayim. So yes, we are going to say, even if we say that you're supposed to take minam mukaf daraisa, nevertheless, though, it's less serious a thing to be over on that. It's less serious than causing somebody else to eat tevel. We're fine. You yourself are only over on lif ne'ever, but the other guy is being over on something which is chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. Okay. If both of you took meiser, there's no harm done. Yeah, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about if you, the chaver, say, you know what, I don't want to take because I don't want to be taking shalom in amukav, then you have the problem. The other guy, being an amaretz, is still going to go eat from it, not knowing that he needs to take ma'aser, and he's going to be over on an issur of misa b'dei shemayim by overeating tevel. But again, he just told Shimon to collect more fruit, so it wasn't brought into the house yet. But that wasn't brought... But that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the food that he has in his house. Yeah.
So okay. Do you mean that they were questioning, they might be questioning if it's been a mukaf or not,
The chaver is going to, so that's the thing. Rebbe, that's what Rebbe is saying. So Reb Shimon Gamliel disagrees with that. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, given that you're not allowed to take mina mukaf, the chaver is going to be careful with that and is not going to take mina mukaf. Therefore, you cannot assume that the chaver took meiser on behalf of this fruit that you just picked, and therefore you have to take meiser from it. You yourself have to take meiser from it. Onward. Ad kan like pligi. So now let's analyze their machlokas. What is the case they're arguing about? Ela de marsav nechshedu or marsav le nechshedu. Okay, so we have Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel arguing whether the chaver is going to be over on the thing of taking truma and ma'aser shalom and amukaf. Aba kula al machazaka shliach oisah shlichusay. It seems that they both agree that going back to the original topic of our sugya, that chazaka shliach oisah shlichusay. In other words, if it wasn't for the concern of Torah Shalom and Amukov, we could assume that the Shliach would do his job. The Balabas is the Shliach for it because he has the responsibility of making sure that he's not causing somebody else to eat something that's also. So fine, Reb Shimon Gamliel says in this particular case, not because if he does that, he's going to be over on a different Isser. But the basic concept that a Shliach is going to do something to make sure that somebody else doesn't accomplish an Isser, that we see. So Reb Shesha says, there you see, we can rely on it, even in a thing d'araisa. That's the point. One second. Because the chaver knows that it's a shlichus. The Amoritz doesn't even know that it's a shlichus. Yeah. Rav Nachman. So what does Rav Nachman answer to that? Hasam kedir Chanina Chayza. The reason why it works in that case is based on what Rav Chanina Chayza says. The Amr of Chanina Chayza, Chazaka who al Chaver Sheinim Motzi, Dover Sheinim Asukin Metachas Yode. We have a different Chazaka regarding a Chaver that he makes sure that something that's not fixed up, that's something that's not corrected, doesn't leave his possession. So he's going to make sure, before this fruit leaves his possession, that there's no questions on it, and therefore he's going to make sure. So again, so even according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, if it weren't for the problem of being Torah Shalom and Amukav, we would say the Chaver would definitely do it. So for example, let's say if the Chaver, instead of telling the Amoritz that you can go pick fruit from my tree, if he told him you can go into my house and take some food, then there'd be no question that it was Maaser already, because he wouldn't allow it to be to be Yoytze Metachas Yodah if it wasn't to Redias Apas. No, we'll talk about that on Amud Beis. Hold that thought. Yeah. Okay. Fine. But in this particular case, because there would be a different issue involved, then Reb Shimon Gamliel says he's not going to be over on that issue, as we're going to talk about on Amud Beis, because he's not necessarily going to be over on issue in order to save somebody else from a different issue. Which, yes, like Aaron, like you said, that does relate to the question in Shabbos about if somebody has bread in the oven, is somebody else allowed to take it out for him before it bakes, and the other guy is going to be chayv chatas. We'll get to that point in Amud Beis. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Now let's go back to that braisa and analyze it a little more before we get back to this matter of chazaka shliach oisah shlichusay. Amamar b'medvar mamurim ba'amoretz. We said that this whole discussion about whether you need to take vaday or dmai, depending on whether he told you to take a certain amount or an indefinite amount, is only when it's an amoretz. Ava b'chaver oichov v'netzarech la'asa divrei Rebbe. We said if the owner of the tree is the chaver, is a chaver, then Rebbe says you don't have to take ma'isu because we can assume the chaver did it to make sure not to be machshel the other guy. And Reb Shimon Gamliel says not. And that's the whole point. That's what we're saying. We're talking about a tree that he's picking now. The chaver will make sure that as soon as he finishes picking, that chaver will make sure as soon as possible afterwards, before it becomes kavua, that he's going to take ma'isu from it and make sure not to be machshel the other guy. Okay. So the balabas in the house. Yeah, let's say he's looking out the window. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, hi Amoritz to Ka'amalei Laman. Okay, so we're talking about who the Balabas is, whether the Balabas is an Amoritz or a Chaver. Who is the guy who's picking the fruit? Is he an Amoritz or a Chaver? So, hi Amoritz to Ka'amalei Laman. The case where the Balabas is an Amoritz, who is he telling that he can pick fruit from the tree? We were talking about then the question of whether the guy has to take Maiser of Dmai from it. Ilema to Ka'amalei Amoritz Chavre. Are we talking about the guy that he invites to pick from the tree is also an Amoritz? Master and Dmai, what do you mean? You tell him he has to take Maaser Dmai. Meet Sayas, he's not going to listen anyway. The whole point is that Amoritz figure they don't have to take Maaser. And Amoritz is going to trust a fellow Amoritz. The other guy, he's going to figure the other guy probably took Maaser, I don't have to bother. So then what do you mean? We tell him to be Maaser Dmai. He's not going to listen anyway, he being an Amoritz. Elabama Oretz, the Ka'amale L'chaver. Evidently, we have to be talking about the owner of the tree is an Ama Oretz. The person he's inviting to pick is a Chaver. So now, a Chaver, we can tell him, you have to take Maiser of Dmai from it. The problem with that is Ema Sefer. What about, though, the next part of the Braisa, where Rebbe continues, Nirin Dvarai Medivrei Abba, that my opinion seems more logical than my father's, Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, who said that the Chaver, the owner of the tree, is not going to take Maiser from it because Lo Nechshedu Litzrim Shalom Min Amukav. So he says mutav sheichosh to chaverim litrim shalom in amukav, because better that a chaver should be choshed that he's over on taking truma shalom in amukav v'al yachilu la'amei ha'oretz tevolim, rather than giving an ha'oretz tevol to eat. The question is amei ha'oretz my boy hosam. The question is, we just established that the first part of the braisa is talking about where the person who was invited to pick the fruit is a chaver. So b'pashtos the second part is also. So then in that case, the whole braisa is talking about the same case where the person who's picking the fruit is a Chaver. So then what do you mean? You might give an Ama Oretz tevel to you. There's no Ama Oretz involved over here who's picking the fruit. It's a Chaver who's picking the fruit. The Reisha, when it mentions that he takes Maiser of Dmai, yeah, that's talking about where the person picking the fruit is a Chaver. So the owner of the tree is an Ama Oretz. We don't know for sure whether he's going to take Maiser from this fruit or not. He may have, he may not have. Therefore, we say that Maaser and Dmai. The second part, where Rebbe is saying, my opinion seems more logical than Rav Shimon Gamliel's, is talking about a different case where the chaver is the chaver owns a tree. He invites Ama Oretz to pick from it, and another chaver overhears, and he now wants to take some. He now wants to buy or take from that Ama Oretz some of this fruit and eat it himself. So now you have three people involved: Reuven and Levi, who are chaverim, and Shimon, who is an Ama Oretz. So now you're going to have a machlokes. By the way, I forgot to point out, in connection with at the top of the Amud, we were discussing the question, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes are discussing the question whether this Chazaka Oseh Shlichusei applies Daraisa and things Daraisa or Darabanan. So we said, what would the Rambam do with this? The Rambam who holds that there are Tchumen that are Daraisa. Now, Tosfos points out over here like this. You have a different question over here. The whole point is Rav Sheshes is bringing this as a proof that you can be Soymech on a Shliach when it comes to things Daraisa. But here we're talking about figs. Maiser of figs is only derabanan. According to Tosfos, according to many Rishonim, only grain, grapes, and olives are chayiv and truma and maiser daraisa. Everything else is only derabanan. So it's only derabanan. What's the proof over here? Tosfos says, because the concept of maiser exists in our Torah, so even though in this particular case, the instance of it is derabanan, therefore we still consider it like something deraisa, according to Rav Nachman. A similar answer would work as far as tchumen. The Rambam, who holds that there's a tchum deraisa, also holds that maiser of fruit is deraisa. So therefore, according to him, according to the Rambam, maiser of all fruit, of all tree fruit, is deraisa. So according to the Rambam, it works out very neatly. Because according to the Rambam, tchumen have a certain aspect which is daraisa. Maiser of trees is also daraisa. Therefore, the proof that we're bringing here from this case of truma is a valid proof. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the case is that we're talking about over here, the last part of the braisa, when Rebbe talks about my opinion versus my father's opinion, he's talking about a case where Reuven the chaver invites Shimon Nama Oretz to pick fruit from his tree, and Levi the chaver overhears it. So what's the machlokes over here? Rebbe Sovar, so Rebbe figures, that second chover, Levi, is able to eat from that fruit. He does not need to take maaser. Because the first chover will definitely have taken maaser on behalf of this fruit from fruit that he has at home. On this, because of the chazaka we said before, that a chaver is not going to allow something she'enim asukon to leave his possession. So therefore, he's able to. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel says the second chaver has to take maaser l'fichal nechshu chaverim litrim shalom in amukav, because again, the first chaver is not going to have taken maaser because shalom in amukav, it's not all in the same place. V'amar le'Rebbe. So now Rebbe answers. Now Rebbe answers back, sure, in that case, the first chaver, Reuven, would be over on a certain issue if he does that. But mutav sheichoshtu chaverim litrim shalom in a mukav, better that he would be choshered to take truma, not from mukav, v'al yachilo ame aretz tevalim, rather than causing the ame aretz to eat tevil, meaning in other words, in this case, you not only have the ame aretz, you have a chaver over here. So when we talk about do you have to take meiser or not, the question is addressed to the second chaver, because again, the ame aretz is not going to bother listening to us one way or the other anyway. But in terms of the first chaver, Reuven, every yid is still Kol Yisrael Reivim Zelazeh, whether we're talking about Shimon or Levi. So therefore, according to Rebbe, he's going to make sure to take Meiser. It means being over on the Isser of Shalom and Amukov. He's going to do that in order to save another yid from eating something which is also.
What is the Lamin of a person? Is it on the person who takes the Meiser or the person that eats the fruit?
The person who takes the Meiser. The person who takes the Meiser is not supposed to take it. Shalom and Amukav. So he's going to be over on a small Isser. So now comes, so now. So what is the underlying machlokes? Rebbe sava nichalei lachaver de la'eved hu isura kalila. Rebbe figures it's better that the chaver will be over on a smaller isur of taking shalom and amukav v'loy levet ama oretz isura rabba to prevent the ama oretz from doing a greater isur. So again, if we say that shalom and amukav is d'rabbanan, then we're talking d'rabbanan versus d'araisa. So no question, the chaver is going to be willing to be over on something d'rabbanan to save the other guy from an isur d'araisa. If we say that shalom and amukav itself is daraisa, still that's only an isur, whereas eating tevel is a chiyuv misa, and therefore he's going to do that. Reb Shimon Gamliel says no, the other way around. Nichale v'chaver de la'eved ama oretz isura rabba. The chaver doesn't mind if the ama oretz is going to even be over on a big isur. The ihu afilu isura kalila lo'eved. The chaver is not going to want to do even a minor isur of taking shalom and amukav. Now comes your question, Aaron. At the beginning of Masech, the Shabbos, the Gemara talks about a case where Reuven put bread in the oven before Shabbos. And the question is, would we tell Shimon to take it out of the oven before it bakes? If it bakes in there, then Reuven is going to be chayv in Isur Chatas. So if he takes it out, he's being over on an Isur Derabbanan. D'araisa, there's no problem taking bread out of the oven. It's Rediyas Apas. It's Chochma V'Einim Alocha. What are you saying? No. Here the malacha is getting accomplished by itself, because once Reuven puts the bread in the oven, it's going to bake. So now if it's left in there, Reuven is going to be chayev chatas. The question is, do we tell Shimon to be over on an isur derabbanan of taking the bread out of the oven in order to save Reuven from an isur chatas? He'll take it out before the bread bakes. And we say that we don't do that. Ein omrim la'adam chatei b'shvil sheyizkeh chaverecha. So how does that fit with our Gemara over here? So Tosfos discusses actually that there's a difference. The difference is over here, Reuven, the owner of the tree, in a way is a little bit at fault over here. If Shimon ends up eating tevel, or Levi for that matter, ends up eating tevel, he's kind of responsible because he told him to begin with pick fruit without telling him what he should do as far as Meiser. And the other guy may think, Shimon or Levi may think that he already took Meiser. So therefore he has a responsibility to fix up the situation. So that's one answer, is because over here Reuven is kind of responsible, whereas over there Shimon has no responsibility when Reuven put bread in the oven, so therefore we don't tell Shimon to get involved. Another point Tosfos says is that they're the other way around. Reuven, who put the bread in the oven, did it shortly before Shabbos, and he was careless about it. He should have realized he's not going to have time to bake before Shabbos, and he should have realized that he's putting himself in a position to be chayev chatas. Whereas over here, he wasn't pesheya, so therefore we can tell somebody else to be over. According to Rebbe, we could tell somebody else to be over a minor avera in order to save him from a greater avera. Once it develops a crust, then at that point Reuven's going to be over. The question is, do we tell Shimon to take it out before it reaches that point while it's still dough? Yeah, you put it in like a minute ago. Yeah, okay, fine. The Mishnah says, "Nosne be'ilan." If you placed your eruv in a tree. So now we're going to be talking about the point. You have a concept that we mentioned briefly a few days ago called huve eruve b'makom echad. You have to have that your eruv is accessible to you on Shabbos without being over on an isur. who the eruvay b'makom echad. He, the person who wants to be kohen shvisa, and the eruv have to be in one place, meaning in one reshus where he's able to get it and be able to eat it on Shabbos. So nosne be'ilon, if he placed it in a tree l'mayla me'asar tefachim, if it's above 10 tefachim ein eruv eruv, then it's not a valid eruv, as we'll see in the Gemara. Why not? Yeah. If it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, then it is a valid eruv. If he put it into a pit, then even if the pit is 100 amas deep, then it's a valid eruv. So we'll see in the Gemara what the distinctions are between above and below 10 tefachim. In the case of the pit, actually, that Amma makes a point in one of his truvas, we're talking about a pit which is less than 4 by 4 tefachim. So it's going to be a kaimalus. Maybe he says it would be a makom true. I don't remember. Whatever. It wouldn't be a rishus yachid, because he says if it was a rishus yachid, there's no reason to distinguish between whether it's 10 tefachim deep or 100 amos. We know that 10 tefachim makes a rishus yachid. Okay. So that's right. So Yosef Rav Chiya ba'Abba v'Rav Asi v'Rav ba'Nosen. One time these three chachamim are sitting together, Rav Chiya ba'Abba, Rav Asi, and Rav ba'Nosen. The Yosef Rav Nachman Gabai, who Rav Nachman was sitting together with them. The Yasvi v'Kamri, they were sitting and discussing as follows. Hi, Ilan d'Koy Heika. Where is this tree standing that we're discussing that there's a difference between above and below 10 tefachim? Ilema d'Koy b'Rishas Yachid. If the tree is standing in Rishas Yachid, and so the point is, in other words, the guy is koina shvisa in rishus yachid mali l'mayla mali l'mata. Then who cares if it's above or below 10 tefachim? Rishus yachid oila ad l'rakia. The rishus yachid goes up to the sky anyway, so the whole area is rishus yachid, no matter how high up in the tree he puts it. So what's the problem? The ela dekoy b'rishus rabim. So we have to be talking about evidently the tree is standing in rishus rabim, and then we have to ask the neskaven lishbois hecha. Where is this guy planning to make his mokum shvisa? What is going to be his home base for Shabbos? If he plans that his mokum shvisa is going to be at the top of the tree, well, then what's the problem? The eruv is above 10 tefachim. He's also above 10 tefachim. So they're both in the same rishus. He'd be able to climb up the tree before Shabbos, be there ben hashmashes, take the food and eat it, because they're all in the same rishus. He's not carrying from one rishus to another. You're not allowed to climb on a tree on Shabbos, but like this, he could go up there before Shabbos and still be up there, Ben Ashmoshes. Besides which also, well, one second. At this point, the Gemara doesn't know yet that you're able to be over on Isurim Dirabanan for the sake of an Erev Tchumen. We're going to get to that later. Okay. So Elon is Skaven Lishbis Lamata. So evidently the case must be where he planned that his Makam Shvisa is going to be down on the ground next to the tree. So now you have a problem, because his Makam Shvisa is in Rishos Rabim. It's above 10 tefachim in the tree, which is Rishos Yachid, where again we have to be talking about, Rashi points out, the tree has to be at least 4 by 4 tefachim, otherwise it's going to be a Makam Tur. So if it's below 10 tefachim, then it's a Karmelis. So then you're carrying from Karmelis to Rishos Rabim. But the problem with that is, v'hokam ishtamish be'ilon, don't you have a different problem, though, when you take it, you're using the tree, and using a tree is also drabanan on Shabbos, so how are you able to take that eruv without being over on an isu Shabbos? The answer is, lo'olam dekoy b'shos rabim. And by the way, what's the problem with using a tree? That it's not so much that you're taking the thing off the tree. The Ritva points out, and this is brought lahalacha, the problem is you may lean on the tree as you're doing that. And then you're using the tree on Shabbos. What? It's not right. The reason why this gzeira derabanan of not using a tree is based on that you might break off a twig. So the point is, therefore, because of that, you're not allowed to take something off the tree or put it on, because you may lean on the tree, which is actually using the tree in the course of that. Okay. So the answer is, la'olam dekoy b'rishos rabim. We are actually talking about he's standing in rishos rabim and he's going to make his makam shvisa there. V'niskaven lishvis l'manta. We are talking about he plans for his makam shvisa to be on the ground there next to the tree. And why does it work? But Rebbe, it works based on what Rebbe says. Da'ama kol davar shu mishum shvus like gozru ala bein hashmoshes. Anything which is also only as a shvus, as something d'rabanan, then the chum will not gozru on it bein hashmoshes. Now, the Ravid points out, it doesn't necessarily actually mean that you can be over the Isur. The fact is, it's Bein HaShemashas and the Chum Asur to do. But when it comes to an Erev Tchumen, the Chachamim are Mekel, since the Chum are saying it's as if you could do it. And therefore, since it's as if you could bring it down from the tree without, and the fact that there's an Isur Derabanan, we're not going to worry about it, Bein HaShemashas, that allows us to consider the Erev Tchumen kosher. It's not that you can actually take it off the tree, because then you still are going to be over on Issa D'Rabbanan, but we consider it as if you could. Okay, so that's the answer, therefore. So the Mishnah is talking about where you're in Rosh Hashanah, you're Makam Shvisa is in Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, if the Eruv is above 10 Tfachim in the tree, then you have a problem. Then it would be an Issa D'Araisa to bring it down to your place, because you're carrying from one Rosh to another. And an Issa D'Araisa, we can't be Matir Bein Hashmashas. Therefore, your Eruv is no good. If it's below 10 Tfachim, then you're fine, because then you're bringing from Carmelis into Rosh Hashanah, which is only D'Rabbanan, and you're taking something off a tree, which is also only D'Rabbanan. Would be a Rosh HaSiyachim. No, because it would be a separate Rishus. Now, we mentioned yesterday the Bartanura has an explanation that when there are two Shvusim involved, then we say that not. Then we say we can't be made on it. Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that in this case over here, we do have two Shvusim, because we'd be talking about taking it off the tree and bringing it from Carmelis to Rosh HaSiyachid, but to Rosh HaSiyachim rather. But he says, in this case, maybe it would be fine because the two shvusim are one after the other. First, you take it off the tree, and then you're not leaning on the tree anymore, and then you bring it down to the other rishus, and maybe that would be fine. Okay. Two things are not at the same time. It's one after the other. Once you finish doing one, then you're, okay. Amalahu Rav Nachman Yishar. So Rav Nachman says to these three chachamim, very good. This is correct. V'chein Amar Shmuel. And Shmuel said the same explanation of our Mishnah that we're talking about, that the problem is the shvus of carrying from Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah or versus from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, which is Daraisa, and of using the tree. Amrulei, so the other Chachamim said to Rav Shmuel, Pasrisu Bakolei Hai, did you explain so much about the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What's the question? Inunami Halchi Kapasriba. They themselves just gave the same explanation. What are they so surprised that he came up with it also? Ela Halchi Amrulei, what they mean is just the opposite. When they say Pasrisiba Kulei Hai, they're not saying it as a question. They're saying it as an exclamation. Wow, you came up with such an explanation. And they ask him, Amrulei Kavitu Lei B'Gemara. They ask Rav Nachman, you're telling us that Shmuel said this. Did you establish this as an official part of the Gemara? Now, the Gemara itself was written only a couple of generations, was composed in the form that we have it by Ravina and Ravashi a few generations later. But already in the time of Rav Nachman, we see what they had is there were certain known explanations of the Mishnayos and the Braises that were collected by the Chachamim and were learned as an official thing. That became the nucleus of the Gemara as we have it now. So now they're asking him, this statement that you're saying that we thought we came up with it on our own, and you're saying that Shmuel in the previous generation said it, did you actually make it an official part of the Gemara, which is reviewed in the yeshivas so that everybody will know it from now on? And he says, yes, I made it an official part of the Gemara. So now, from now on, the Chachmei Yeshiva, when they learn, they're going to learn this point, and it's going to be part of the known explanations on the Mishnayos, which are accepted by everybody. Yeah. Itmar Nami, Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel. In fact, it was said also, it became an official statement that was said in the Yeshivas. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, we're talking about the tree is standing in Rosh Hashanah. The tree is at least 10 tefachim tall and at least 4x4 wide. The case is where he wants his makam shvisa to be next to the tree on the ground. And the reason why it works if it's below 10 tefachim is based on what Rebbe says. And therefore it's good, and therefore his eruv works on that basis. So that became an official explanation of the Mishnah that the Chachamim from then on learned in the yeshivas. Okay. Shkayach, everyone. And we'll continue with this tomorrow, with discussing what exactly the shape of this tree is in terms of these dinim. Tomorrow we're going to start needing diagrams again, because we're going to need to understand how exactly the branches of this tree are shaped that makes a difference as far as these dinim. Okay. So.